Welcome to Let's Find Out. The focus of this program is to have our hearts open to a universal, united, kind, loving, and forgiving planet. We've entered into a new decade and a new energy form, the transformational 20s. Let's all begin to strengthen the new energies on the planet, strengthen your intuition, and strive to live a peaceful existence free from fear. What strategies, prayers, meditations, and exercise can you use to tap into the higher realms and receive messages from your departed loved ones, creating a higher vibration of living? When we are upset and confused, where can we find the answers? How can we know which path to take? The answers are here on Let's Find Out with our spiritually focused format and guests. Each episode includes Elizabeth Joyce's weekly stargazing report, a guided healing meditation, as well as ascension music by Richard Schulman. The purpose of every broadcast is to raise your personal vibration. Now it's time for tonight's program, Let's Find Out, with Elizabeth Joyce.
Good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. Tonight I'm speaking to you about the movement of Neptune into Aries, some historical events, timelines, as well as some of my intuitive messages. This is a very consequential energy, as Neptune has just moved into Aries on March 30th and is holding at 0 degrees. Neptune changes signs every 14 to 15 years and always brings a huge impact on the collective consciousness as well as psychology, the political arena, and history. There's going to be a very definite threshold that we are crossing over right now, especially during 2025 and 2026. The way that people think about the world, the growth of humanity. This astrological movement brings us a new era with this change of Neptune, because Pluto moved into Aquarius in January for the next 20 years. Neptune will retrograde back into Pisces once in November of 2025. Because you may feel like you're not quite ready for these energies, there may be some things you don't quite understand, but you will once Neptune settles into Aries in 2026. I will be discussing these matters as we move along the rest of 2025 and the first part of 2026. As I lean into the energies, here are some things I am thinking, feeling, and seeing. Neptune in Aries is very much like the phoenix rising out of the ashes. Neptune in Pisces has been a deteriorating energy, especially in the U.S. It brought an inability to have a strong foundation. We have had economic issues globally, certain issues with the collective consciousness, territorial crisis, issues about diet, nutrition, and substances, along with drugs, opiate, and the fentanyl crisis. Also, poisons and dangerous substances in our everyday foods. All of this will be changed up. I've been seeing no more fast food restaurants since 2018. Also, mass people migrations, political dynamics, worldwide economics, and of course this is always changing regardless. But Neptune in Aries, ending the astrological zodiac and entering into a new one, is a specific paradigm that happens about every 165 years. The last time Neptune was in Aries began in 1861 through 1875, at the beginning of the Civil War in the U.S. Historically and energetically, maybe some thread that started back at that time will conclude now. There will be a leveling up of evolution and collective consciousness that began in the 1860s and now will be brought up to a higher level. There's a new spark in the Phoenix with emotions and individuals. People are tired, feeling exhausted. During the latter time of Pluto in Capricorn, around 2019, exhaustion began to permeate, which is why the events of 2020, COVID, became such a major global phenomenon. Actually, the collective consciousness wanted to stay home for a while. People did not want to work because of the exhaustion. The COVID lockdowns really fueled the situation, and it's why it manifested the way that it did. Now, moving into 2025, we're getting wound back up again. If you really want to help yourself in 2025, give yourself the extra time to recharge, especially during the time when Neptune goes back into a Pisces, which is October through December. There won't be a lot of energy floating around at that time. Through the time of April through September, you may feel, I'm ready for the next frontier. I'm ready to move forward into this totally new territory. But some of our time may be better spent by resting, respite, and recharging, watching our resources, keeping our reservoir and our savings going, kind of like protecting and reserving our energy and resources, rather than spending everything that we have now, because 2026 will require a major investment in ourselves, so we really need to spend 2025 recharging. Neptune moving into Aries says to me that exhaustion has gotten to a point where people just aren't willing to do certain things anymore. They aren't willing to work certain jobs, etc. This goes hand in hand with the development of AI and the technology revolution that is beginning to manifest. Much like 2020, people really want to transcend labor or certain parts of labor. One of the focuses of Neptune and Aries is the redefining of what labor is in society. This is but what's happening in the 1860s, with the American Civil War being about slavery. And outside the United States, serfdom in Russia was outlawed in 1860s. Also, the Meiji Restoration in Japan. And all of these issues revolved around labor dynamics. Now, as Neptune moves into Aries, we will be seeing people not willing to work in the same system that we've been in, especially with housing prices, rent prices, and taxation globally. There's going to be something big coming, some kind of change. Conflicts around people not being willing to work 30 years to own a humble home. People will want to be paid more for the, what we consider, low-level jobs. I know that housekeepers or house cleaners, what we used to call maids, have doubled their wages. What used to be $15 or $20 an hour is up to $40 to $60. And if you don't pay it, you won't get the service. Everything has become so much more expensive, you just cannot survive when being paid these lower rates. People have become frustrated that 80 or 90% of their income is going for rent and taxes. And if you add food and gasoline to the budget, it's up to 97 or 98%. Well, maybe coming out of this Neptune ending, its run in Pisces, is that people find nothing is left over for themselves. People feel drained. People feel taxed. They've also been coping with art, media, and in some senses, substances. They need brain chemistry like the caffeine crisis, the opiate crisis, or dopamine crisis, technology and the screens, texting. This is very Neptunian in Pisces. People really don't know what sobriety is as we leave Neptune and Pisces. There's a lot of confusion along with people not really understanding even the system that they're under. the governments that they're under, the economic system. A lot of that is brain-busting for people, and there's a lot of mental survivalism going on. People think, I'm just going to eat this food because it tastes good. I'm just going to drink this coffee or latte and get through it. I'm going to doom-scroll social media. I'm going to not think about the fact that most of my income goes for rent and taxes. I'm just going to live my life out. It's actually a collective existentialism. And with Neptune moving into Aries, people will reignite. They will wake up a little bit. In some ways, this is positive, and in some ways, negative. But for a lot of people, this has to happen as they start thinking, am I going to settle for this? I'm not sure. I see a lot of people starting their own business, a huge increase in enterprise, and it could become quite chaotic. It's going to be more like pulling yourself up from your bootstraps. Thousands and thousands and thousands of different entrepreneurs doing their own thing with Neptune and Aries. Hyper-individualism will become very romantic with Neptune and Aries. People will want their own income that they can control. They're going to want their own property. People will begin to think, you know what? I'm not okay with having a landlord. I'm not okay with having a boss that pays taxes on my behalf out of my paycheck. There will probably be a change in legislation about the way payroll taxes are collected, and there could be an increase in taxes because of how they fund social programs. And with Social Security insolvency, this could bring about Social Security tax increase. As of now, with Neptune finishing up in Pisces, Social Security is predicted to go insolvent in 2033. Somehow, the people have to stop the government from borrowing from Social Security and Medicare. It has to be stopped and changed. So a crisis around mechanism that functions all of this payroll, etc. This could be the Bureau of Fiscal Services mismanagement, or technology hacking. Technology implosions could lead to a taxation crisis. This did happen in China in 1860 with the Opium Wars, when Franklin D. Roosevelt established the Social Security in 1935. It was for federal assistance for the elderly and was supposed to be untouchable. However, Lyndon B. Johnson was the first president to borrow from Social Security in 1965. Since 1983, every U.S. president has borrowed from Social Security to pay for government expenses. It seems that the trillions of dollars in Social Security that are meant to help the elderly and the people on disability is far too tempting to resist. The problem is there's been no attempt to put it back, and there should be consequences for this action. Nobody ever talks about this, but this is what they do in order to balance the budget and have more time before the country closes down. If you need to fact-check me, just go to Wikipedia and read about Social Security. Economic experts said Social Security, which has run an annual deficit since 2010, uses the money for bonds issued by the Treasury Department to pay out to benefits. According to the Social Security Administration, a total of $2.9 trillion has been borrowed from a trust fund since 1965. Now, most of you people don't know that. They're not aware of it. The following presidents have borrowed the most from Social Security. Lyndon B. Johnson borrowed $343 billion. Richard Nixon borrowed $242 billion. George W. Bush borrowed $193 billion. Bill Clinton borrowed $146 billion. And Barack Obama borrowed $124 billion. Here are the consequences of borrowing from Social Security. Borrowing from Social Security has significant consequences for the program's long-term solvency and the financial security of its beneficiary. Some of the consequences include reduced benefits. Borrowing from Social Security reduces the amount of money available to pay benefits to eligible recipients, which could lead to reduction benefits or delayed payments. Increased debt. Borrowing from Social Security increases the national debt, which could lead to higher interest rates and reduce economic growth. Funding shortfalls. Borrowing from Social Security reduces the amount of money available to fund the program's long-term obligations, which could lead to funding shortfalls and reduce benefits. I know they borrow from Social Security, and they leave IOU notes, and there has to be interest on the money that they borrow. But rarely does anybody honor their IOUs. In conclusion, several presidents have borrowed money from the Social Security Trust Fund to finance their administration's spending priorities and reduce budget deficits. While borrowing from Social Security may have provided short-term relief, it has significant consequences for the program's long-term solvency and the financial security of its beneficiaries who paid into it in the first place. The money from Social Security comes from your paycheck. Don't ever forget that. Social Security is an individual person's savings account. It was never meant to be a bank. It was meant to be helpful after you retire. It is essential for policymakers to address the funding shortfall and ensure the long-term solvency of the Social Security program to protect the financial security of its beneficiary. At this time, the current administration is investigating Social Security, and they are finding a lot of misplaced information. They are finding dead people collecting Social Security, as well as those who have not been born yet. I'm glad they are doing this. It's a vital shift that we all need. Once that's cleared, I'm hoping that the borrowing and pilfering these funds will come to an end. Our seniors deserve to receive what they paid for, not to have it disappear magically. Right now, we're going to take a break for our weekly cosmic tip. I'll have more information on Neptune moving into Aries when we come back. Hello, this is Elizabeth Joyce with your weekly cosmic tip. Hello, this is Elizabeth Joyce with your Stargazing Report, week of April 14th through April 20th, 2025. With no inner planets retrograde and Mercury and Mars both moving into the fire signs, this is one of the most buoyant weeks of the year. Energetically, this week is really the true beginning of 2025 because of the retrograde planets moving forward. Now you can move full speed ahead without any astrological blocks or obstacles. Use this period between April and July to begin your new projects and follow your dreams. Tuesday brings us a starry-eyed grand trine with Mars, Saturn, Venus, and Mercury. They are all in Pisces, and Neptune is sitting on the access point of Aries. This is one of the most romantic days of 2025. Whether you're single or in a relationship, allow love and passion to elevate you out of a logical energy into a dreamy, magical world of a higher dimension. On Wednesday, Mercury moves into fast-moving humorous Aries, joining Neptune early Thursday. Use this time for creative projects while brainstorming about how you can make the world a better place. The sign ingress of Mercury, Mars, and the Sun shape the next few days. Mercury enters Aries on April 16th, and Mars enters Leo on April 18th. The Sun enters Taurus on the 19th. In the days following their entry, they all form an aspect with Neptune in the first degree of Aries, which quietly speaks of now or never. If you already know where you want to go, now is a good time to start out. Mars has been transiting Cancer since early January. When the red planet looms into Leo on Friday morning, you will be well rested and ready to get outside and enjoy the exciting world as Easter and spring open their beautiful natural gifts. This could be a confusing day when it comes to love and romance, so put off any major decisions about potential suitors until another day. Last weekend, with April's full moon in Libra on the 13th, presented you with a challenging T-square configuration between a relation-oriented Libra moon opposing the Sun in independent Aries. Both are challenged by a squaring assertive Mars in the sign of the home and family, Cancer. This uncomfortable combination feels like you are being pulled in three directions that simultaneously want your attention. You can manage it, but it will feel like a juggling act this week. Make certain your actions and emotions are working together. Say yes when you mean yes and no when you mean no. Often easier said than done. Add to that, Love and Money Venus is ending her retrograde cycle. She's been retrograde since March 1st. At the core, you have been reviewing who and what you value so that you can put your energy in that direction, the direction of your changing values. Venus is aligned with Sirius, Saturn, and communication planet Mercury, all in psychic Pisces. Practice communicating boundaries so you don't end up feeling like a victim. Ideally, you are opening to a higher wisdom, a higher vision, and exploring how it can come into form. Ambitious Mars is a key component now because it's in the focal point of the full moon T-square, and the warrior planet is in harmonious relationship with the Pisces planets. If you focus on Mars, it's like getting double assistance for the price of one, combined with red-hot passion and idealistic adoration. Saturday is a powerful day. Spend the time in pursuit of love, and don't forget to put your beloved on a pedestal by doing something special and romantic. The full moon in Libra opposes the Sun and Chiron conjunction as Venus ends her retrograde phase. Be aware that she is still involved in the stellium of Mercury, Saturn, and the lunar nodes in the last degree of Pisces. During this powerful time, there's a noticeable impulse towards healing and integration. The quality of time brings new confidence and the courage for a fresh start. Focus on the power of love. Deadlock situations can now start to flow again. Whether or not you are celebrating Easter Sunday, it's an excellent day to get together with the extended family and catch up over a delicious meal and long, deep, meaningful conversation. Also, this warm, loving energy can be good for Zoom calls, texting, and internet conversation. Sunday evening, you may have feelings of exhaustion, so you may want to retire early. Mercury and Mars are moving from water to fire sign and shifting energies from introverted to extroverted frequencies. The quality of time changes significantly in the last third of the month that begins this week. Tension is in the air and you may expect confrontations. Work to overcome any shyness as people will be in the mood for chatting, visiting, and getting to know you better. A T-square is forming between Mars, the Sun, and Pluto, with the new moon in Taurus at month's end. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Visions of Reality. The website is new-visions.com. If you'd like to make a call to ask a question or book some reading time with me, the 24-hour answering service is 201-934-8986. Also, the Stargazing Report is posted on my website the day after this program. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week. And now it's time to get back to tonight's program. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com, and we are back from our weekly cosmic tip. We have a lot going on for centuries, merchant power versus state power. This will be coming up after the AI revolution. Should you invest in technology? I don't know. I'm not an investor. But I feel that military industrial will be very strong with Neptune and Aries. Aries is our warrior sign. On the positive side, the energy can help people take control of their lives better, like strategizing a better balanced life experience. With Neptune in Pisces, things are not focused and life is all over the place. Neptune in Aries brings in strong focus on the individual, and Pluto in Aquarius focuses on the people and communities rather than big government. Neptune is at home in Pisces, so it's not a bad place, but things can become very messy. You have ownership issues, joint ownership. People may be neglecting some of the physical world because things get mental and ethereal. This can lead to a material and physical confusion. This can lead to conflicts and upsets like money issues and or ignored physical problems. With Neptune and Aries, the warfare element becomes more accessible in the collective consciousness. And we are definitely coming out of a very feminine period of time. 2020 through 2024 was very yin. In 2020, we had Pluto in Capricorn, Uranus in Taurus, Neptune in Pisces, Saturn in Capricorn, Jupiter in Taurus. We had quite a gathering of feminine energy. So now, in May of 2025, Saturn moves into Aries. Everything ebbs and flows, going back and forth between the energies. More important, with Neptune in Aries, there's really a big push forward. It's not a conservative energy. It's progressive, moving forward energy. Example, with the Civil War, the Union side was a more progressive side, even though the conservative side had more economic power than the Union side. It nonetheless did not end up winning. Also, the 1860s started the Victorian era, which was about inventiveness, pushing things forward, the Industrial Revolution continuing along, with expansion of the British Empire in new ways. Even though it restored Imperial Japan, it did so on the condition that Westernization was implemented and that Japan industrialized. Also, serfdom was illegalized in Russia. Do you see the connecting thread? It all happened globally. The end of the agrarian feudal system. Even though there was still this feeling of empire in all of the countries, there was industrialization, creating more of a homogeneous kind of culture, sort of based in Western principles. This stretched all across the globe in all the power centers. In April 2025, we have this push forward, an end to the global economy based on what has grown out of the ground, like the agrarian economy, and then you have the industrial economy that came out of the last time Neptune was in Aries. There's going to be something similar to that again, where we will see a homogeneous culture that will emerge globally, and it's going to probably be something that we just don't understand yet. The industrial age will become antiquated. And about halfway through this Neptune and Aries transit, we will begin to understand what it looks like. That'll be around 2032. To continue with historic events, there was a glorious revolution in Spain during the 1860s, where the monarch of Spain was dethroned. All these issues revolved around labor norms. This era questioned the validity of feudal or imperial systems, because it all involved the land and the agrarian economy. During Neptune and Aries in the 1860s, it started to become apparent. Industry could be more efficient with machines, and serfs, slaves, peasants, all of those people got wiped out. That was positive, though very upsetting at first. There will be another level of that coming, as we are already seeing it with artificial intelligence. We have this new construct of labor now, the wage construct, along with a taxation system that is not like serfism or the peasants, but in the modern sense. The majority of people who work for paychecks and have their taxes withheld is the closest thing in our era that you can compare to what was there in those labor concepts. Slavery and indentured servitude exist today, but not like the global norm or what was globally accepted in the 1860s. Maybe there will be progress on that with this next round of Neptune and Aries. Wouldn't that be great? We are looking at a different proletariat, a different form. And maybe AI will take a lot of those jobs. That can be positive because it will help people transcend certain norms, certain outlooks, as well as the economic status. The question is, what comes in its place? I'll be back to try to explain some of that after we take our break. See you in a little bit.
Elizabeth Joyce's Elixir Tea is really a healing tea. It's blended according to Ayurvedic principles and the chanting of Sanskrit mantras. So it assures a deep cellular healing, relief that flows from within. So drink Elizabeth's healing tea before you meditate. Order it online or call 201-934-8986. 201-934-8986. Now more than ever, you need Elizabeth Joyce's sanitizing healing spray. It clears and cleans viruses and germs, and it helps to prevent spreading those viruses and germs. Elizabeth's sanitizing healing spray contains frankincense and sandalwood. You spray it as generously and as often as you need. You can order it online or call 201-934-8986. 201-934-8986.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet talk radio on the planet. It's Let's Find Out, and honored guests come every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial toll-free 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com/Let's Find Out. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio. So now, Let's Find Out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
This is Elizabeth Joyce, and we're back from the break. And that was Al Hibbler singing Never Turn Back. I love that song. It really reminds me that we're starting a new era and we need not look back. We need to be in the present and with an eye on the future. So we're going back to 1860 and talking about the Victorian era and how similar it is to where we are now. We were talking about labor concepts and the elimination of slavery and all the people that were in servitude. When this happened in the Victoria era, it was very difficult for people over 40 or so to exist. People started thinking about mental illness. We had the creation of institutions and more of those in the 20th century. All these changes were brain-busting. We had empire, imperial, monarchy that were dominating globally, which was nullified with the implementation of constitutional monarchies. As opposed to autocratic, we had the furthering of democracy. Larger mental institutions were created with more people in the institutions, which came with all of the revolutionary movements. And those begin with Neptune in Pisces. The sentiments and emotions began at that time. We also had the emergence of railroads in the 1860s, as well as the Suez Canal. That's when that opened up. So we improved trade lines. We opened up trade pathways with both the trains and shipping. Maybe there could be a global conflict between trade ports and canals at this time, but that has already begun to show up with questioning the Panama Canal. There are a lot of liberal movements happening, especially around the context of religion. The liberal movement with the Catholic Church was going on in the 1860s. So again, you're seeing that progressive movement. People are moving away from tradition and conservative ideals. Religious institutions are either closing down or being brought into the future. Also, the New Age titles of these events. For example, the Glorious Revolution, the Victorian Era Reconstruction. All of this is very Aries. We're going into reconstruction or revolutionizing the past. But in reality, these events were very bloody and very cruel. All of these movements got a certain branding that can be collectively frustrating. Here in 2025, it would be very nice to consider peace regimes like a global Zoom gathering and meditation worldwide. I've had such a gathering on my website since 2000. We gather at 7:30 Sunday evenings all over the world, and we pray and meditate and send healing to our loved ones. When you join in, collective energy is a lot more focused, and the energy is stronger. This is all beginning to emerge and will begin to grow larger as we move along. It would also be good to let the 1860s remain where they are in the past and not try to go back there again. Yes, we still have slavery, but it's more like a paper tiger rather than a real one. The hierarchy is now more paper, like tariffs and taxations, rather than physical, like whips and chains. We have a liquidation of investments and an asset rush. We have inflation coming out of Neptune and Pisces time. People want to have real, visible holdings rather than paper statements, especially if inflation continues, which it is likely to do until mid-2026. I have moved around a lot tonight and given you a lot to digest. With Neptune and Aries, we are breaking through confusion, exposing lies that have been buried forever, getting more precise, more focused on what you're doing with your time and how you're walking your own spiritual path, as well as caring more for your physical body and getting rid of the mirage and sometimes unneeded romanticization elements. You're either getting through it or you're getting out of that situation. And all of this will help you a lot with Neptune and Aries. Try to utilize what you do have as well. I see it becoming more difficult to own assets and also not being secure in the labor area. So if you need a job to survive, and most people do, consider a more creative way, along with ways to come together with family and community, and live in an area where it's not costing a whole life's labor to own a modest home. I feel that owing someone your life's labor to own a home doesn't feel like transcendence. The 1860s began this free journey, and transcendence may happen for many of us in this next 15 years. I'll leave it at that. I appreciate your listening. I hope I gave you interesting history and that it has been very helpful for you. This is the end of our show, but we have the meditation coming as well as some beautiful music. Elizabeth is going to tell us about the new world coming. We have William and his moonlight. And of course, we always end with Dear Richard Shulman. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week. Good night. This is a breathing meditation to help you through these difficult times. Sit with both feet flat on the floor or in the lotus position, legs uncrossed and your spine straight. It would be nice if you would raise your palms and hold your forefinger and thumb together. That's called your circuit. Close your eyes and start taking a deep breath. Allow your mind to flow down to your heart center, the fourth chakra. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Another deep breath. Release the breath. Another deep breath. Release the breath. Now listen. And listen to your name being called with respect. Say it in your mind with respect. The full name you are using now. Then take another deep breath and have your attention on the breath. Your new mantra is, I am safe, it's only change. Close your eyes and just imagine that you're breathing through your heart. As if your heart were your lungs. Allow the breath to breathe you. Breath in. Breath out. Breath in. Breath out. Do this gradually and without force. The breath will go inside of you. Breath in and breath out. Breath in and breath out. Deeper and deeper. Very gently. Very gently. Feel the breath lifting you up. Up out of worry. Out of fear, into the light of bliss and peace. Feel your angels lifting you up,
under your arms, higher and higher. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. As you have the exhale, drop yourself back down into your heart. In the inhale, you're being lifted up by your angels. On the exhale, you're going back down into your heart. Up to your angels, down to your heart. Up to your angels, down to your heart. And each time you drop down, you're going deeper and deeper inside. You're raising up into the light, and you're dropping back down to your heart filled with bliss. Then feel the peace, and feel the release of darkness, fear, and hopelessness. Every time you drop down, more of the darkness, fear, and hopelessness leave your body. Let the breath flow. Let the breath flow. Allow yourself to get very deep. The darkness and fear are melting. Breathe in and feel your angels lift you up. When you feel the darkness is gone and you feel the light, let yourself get very deep. And as you exhale this time, feel the love you have for a partner. When you drop down, send out a beam of that love. Breathe in. Feel the love you have for a child. When you drop down, send out light to that child. Breathe in, get lifted up. Come back down to the heart and feel the love that you have for a pet or animals. Release the breath. Send out the light. You're being lifted up again. Breathe in. Now think of an ill friend that needs healing. Send the light out to that friend when you drop down. Breathe in, feel yourself lifted up. Feel the love you have for the nature, for trees, for our food and our green grass. Feel that in your heart. Take a deep breath, get lifted up, drop down again, and send light out around the world for a pure, clean planet. Breathe in, lift yourself up, feel the angels, bring down the light, and send it out again for a pure, clean planet. Keep breathing in a rhythm. Begin to feel gratitude and praise for all that you have and all that you are. Feel gratitude for a raise at work. Feel gratitude for a wish being granted. Think of that wish now. Keep breathing in and out. See that wish being fulfilled. Breathe in, breathe out. Feel the gratitude. When you do, you are building your heart field. you are strengthening the fourth chakra. When you slow down the breath and feel the raising up to your angels and the light, and the dropping back down into your heart and love, all of your body systems become coherent and begin to release stress. And your inner organs are going to flow together to the beat of the heart in perfect harmony. Feel the beautiful music. Let's do the mantra again. I am safe. It's only change. This time, visualize sparkles of light, brilliant white light, like a cluster of falling stars coming down and falling you and surrounding you. They are the diamonds coming from the 12th dimension, the God center, and you are being blessed, filled with light and protection. Your angels are with you. You're surrounded by white light, which is the Holy Spirit or the Chi or the Shakti, whatever you want to call it. And everything about you is flowing together in perfect harmony. You are raising your frequency every time you're lifted up. And when you fall back into your heart, you're bringing in the energy of bliss and peace. Feel it now. Feel the energy of bliss and peace. You will see everything around you changing. This exercise has a massive impact on your life, your personal health, your personal relationships, and your main gift is feeling the presence of your angels and God. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Keep your eyes closed. Stay in that position. And listen to Richard Schulman as he plays Peace. Peace. I am in the energy of peace. I am safe. It's only change. Take a deep breath. Stay in the energies.